All right, guys, welcome back to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I just had a cutie that was like some kind of mutant.
Really? Why?
No, it was just so big.
You know, and when I saw them,
I kind of feel full.
When I saw them, I'm like, it reminds me of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh my God.
They're so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuties. I got these at Sam's. They have like the best, sweetest fruit compared to Costco.
And oh, really?
And the prices are pretty good. So I get my fruit from there when I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just go to Latino supermarkets.
Yes, yeah. Eddie and I go to the, what is it? El Super?
Mm-hmm.
I think
El Super.
I think that's what it is on. Who knows? I don't remember what street. But anyway, because the produce is like so much cheaper than
right.
Ralph's.
Exactly. Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. I like to go to Gonzalez.
And they have fruit that Ralph's doesn't usually.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Like Gonzalez has like that star fruit. Like pitaya.
Yeah.
I think it's called pitaya.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I don't see them anywhere else.
There's
really
a lot of exotic stuff.
Exotic.
What did we get the other day that we were like, let's try this? I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
Was it that ugly fruit that you could use as meat? It looks...
monk fruit?
Ugh, that's so ugly.
Jen and I were forced to eat monk fruit tacos at an event because they had a vegan taco stand and it was made from monk fruit. And I tried it because I was so hungry, but I couldn't get over the mouthfeel.
Really?
Of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the mouthfeel is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that root that Central America eats a lot. It's white. It looks like potato.
Jicama?
Potato?
No. Yuca.
Yuca.
Oh, yuca.
Yeah, I can't get past the mouth smell. And every time I always get tricked, like, I feel like it's potatoes.
Yeah, it tricks me into being a potato, and then it's the texture.
Yeah, and
it's
like,
always the texture, because flavor-wise, it doesn't really have flavor.
Right, right.
But it's the texture that puts me off about it. And my parents always try to make me eat it,
right?
Try to trick me into thinking it's potato, and I'm just like, I see your lies.
Well, I'm trying to eat low-carb, and there are all of these recipes that tell me to use radishes instead of potatoes. I'm like, radishes. I like radishes on my freaking
tacos?
Asada tacos,
yes.
But like instead of
potatoes,
I don't think that's going to go over.
Maybe check out yuca and see if it can be used
I'm actually very okay with using my cauliflower and like
using it as
because I like cauliflower.
Yeah.
So you literally can look up any recipe and put low carb in front of it and it'll give you some kind of cauliflower concoction to make.
Yeah, that's actually the only thing that I'm okay with substituting. Like there's cauliflower tortillas, there's cauliflower rice.
I've made the rice, I've made the pizza crust, and I've also made the mashed potatoes.
Mm.
They were good. Rosemary garlic mashed potatoes.
Oh my
so
God.
Good.
That does sound very good.
Dude,
very
hungry.
You can tell
right
we're hungry.
Great. Well, anyway, let's get started. I have chisme for you girls.
What's the news this time?
So DC has cast a deaf transgender actor as Titans Jericho. Jericho's real name is Joseph William Wilson, and he is the son of Deathstroke in the DC universe. So we just found out that Isai Morales is going to be Deathstroke, and now we know that this transgender fellow is going to be his son. Jericho, who has to use sign language to communicate with his teammates, was rendered mute by kidnappers who tried to blackmail his assassin father, and has the power to make eye contact, which I don't know how that works out. Hmm. But in the comics, he's also bisexual.
I didn't know that Deathstroke had a son. I know that there is
a daughter
that just came out recently in the comics, but I didn't know anything about. But that name Jericho, I've heard it before somewhere and I've seen it as a character, so I have to get some more intel on this.
Well, let me give you some intel now.
Okay.
The character was originally a superhero and a member of the Teen Titans during the New Teen Titans period.
That's where by I know from.
Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
Yes. That's right, because you know what? I have a lot of those because I was wanting to learn more about characters, and there is a comic series where it is Teen Titans. Titans, and then it says highlight on, and it's the character, and I have the Jericho one.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
So he, Joseph is the youngest son of Slade Wilson Deathstroke and Adeline Kane Wilson. He had a happy childhood. He was actually a musical prodigy.
Adeline Kane, is she somehow related to Batman?
That's what I was thinking.
Of course, everybody in the DC universe is related to Batman.
Is it right? Yeah.
When you said Isai Morales, all I could think of was La Bamba.
Right? I know. Richie!
And him screaming.
I know. That's like a powerful scene. Jericho will be played by Chela Man, a deaf, transgender, Jewish, Chinese-American actor.
Deaf?
Transgender.
Transgender.
Jewish.
Chinese.
American actor.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually, he's relatively unknown in the Hollywood circle, but he's really active in the LGBTQ and the deaf community.
Oh.
In 2017, a man began to transition from female to male and documented his transition on Instagram and YouTube. So.
That was him?
Yep.
Oh.
His name is Chela Man.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sure that's a name that he probably wasn't born with, mm-hmm. but and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's Chella Man is the last name.
Huh. So my question is, the Jericho character, is he deaf?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, not deaf. He is mute.
Mute.
Yes, because he got his vocal cords cut when he was held hostage.
Oh.
Yeah.
He should have had an osito.
Well, I mean, he had a happy childhood. He was, you know, he was a musical prodigy. So I don't think, you know, like throwing down was in his list of things to do, but so I'm very excited about this.
So where can we watch this new iteration of Jericho and Deathstroke?
I'm assuming on the new DC app. It's something that's going to be progressing right now. I think they're in the filming stages.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for that. I know they have a special going on if you subscribe for the full year. Then I think they knock off some of the total price, but yeah, that's I guess they're trying to create content for this app, so you know they have the cartoon movies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I'm excited. I think this is great for the LGBTQ community to have representation in the comic book world.
Yeah, it sounds super cool. And I was looking on Twitter to see if I follow him. I don't. And I was just like, okay, like, well, when you said that he's pretty big, and like, yeah, I'm just looking at his Twitter page, and yeah, he is pretty big. And a lot of the people that I follow him. And I'm just like, why haven't I?
Yeah.
Like, what? I'm slacking. But yeah, it sounds great. And I remember seeing something about this on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, and now I know more.
Cool.
Great.
That's so cool.
I don't make enough money to be subscribing to all these individually different streaming systems.
We should all subscribe to one and share the password.
I like it.
Got it.
I mean, no, that's like illegal, Sarah. Don't talk about that.
Wait, but we need it for our content. It's part of our podcast. No, you know, we're cousins. That's what it is. We're family.
Well, we're Latino. We all live in the same household.
Yeah.
All right, guys. And now, Kristen, what time is it right now?
It is hora de la cervecita.
Yes.
Oh, it does look German.
It does, right? Uh-huh. And as promised, this is the last of our Nicaraguan trip into their craft beer, Mitos craft brewery. So
I'm laughing that it's the last one in our trip, but it was the only craft brewery. So they've all been from the same brewery.
Yes, most definitely. So this one is Killer Beer. It's K-E-L-L-E-R-B-I-E-R. Cerveza Killer Beer, tipo artesanal, nace desde el tiempo medieval. Es naturalmente turbia o sin filtrar, hecha de las más finas maltas europeas y pulpo hops, especial tipo Noble Tatnang, cultivado en la región de Tatnang del sur de Alemania. Reconocida por producir uno de los mejores lúpulos del mundo, hops es lúpulos. Su sabor intenso de carácter fuerte y aroma ligeramente a especies hacen de Mitos Killer Beer una experiencia única al paladar. Well, I hope that's true. it's a Killer Beer. It's actually a medieval type of brew. So I'm guessing they had a certain way they brewed things in medieval times.
Yeah, without technology.
It's naturally turbulent, without filter. It's not filtered and has fine malts, fine European malts and hops of the type Noble Tatnang, cultivated in the region of Tatnang, which is south of Germany. It's renowned to produce the best hops in the world, it says here. The intense flavor and strong character and aroma, light spices make Mitos Killer Beer an experience unique to your palate. I'm very good at this translating thing.
So it says that in medieval England, ale was an alcoholic drink made from grain, water, and fermented yeast. Beer is different in that it also uses hops.
Oh,
but this beer said that there is hops in it.
One to grow on.
There you go. That's how it was made.
But for beer, it says wort had to be boiled with the hops. So
wort.
Wort. It sounds W-O-R-T. Wort.
That sounds like they put some kind of toad in it and just...
Wormwort.
Wormwort. So can I just say, when I opened it to pour it, it smelled like a freaking skunk came into the room.
To me, it smells like a... It smells like a lager.
It doesn't smell like that in my glass, but the smell was so strong. I was like, oh my gosh, either that or like someone was smoking out under the table.
Yes.
But I do that. Smell, it's not as strong now, but now when I'm smelling it, it's a little faintly smells like marijuana.
Yeah. I was about to say.
That's the wormwort?
Wormwort.
Wormwort.
Do you know what wormwort is in Spanish?
Ruda.
Yes.
Put that in olive oil and it cures everything.
I gotta do that.
Apparently, everything was, or especially your earache.
Oh, I gotta do that then.
Mm-hmm. I used some in olive oil, and like just my grandmother and my friend's mom, everything would always just have a little thing of it in the with the sprig of the plant in it, and would use it for earaches.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I actually use that. I would go pick it out in the backyard, mm-hmm. and put it in my tea when I had cramps.
Yeah,
That's menses cramps. Mm-hmm. For you guys,
have a fever? Go pluck up some branches and stuff like that. Put it, wrap it around your forehead.
What, really?
Under your armpits. It'll work.
Wow.
I don't know if it actually works or if it's just a placebo effect.
Yeah.
But I know that I still do it whenever I do.
I'm a huge fan.
I have a fever and stuff like that.
I'm a huge fan of Sepol, which is like a more.
She is.
More, yeah, for sure. Sometimes Kristen's like, who smells like my grandma? And I'm like, that's me, guys. But it's like Vicks Vapor Rub, but it's more intense and stronger.
Yeah.
So
I just use menthol.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So now we know we have Ruda in this brew.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Interesting. And that explains the smell, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
That does explain the spell, but if this tastes like worm fort, I'm tapping out. Oh my god, I'm seeing Kristen's face.
I actually, this is Sarah, and I really like it.
I was scared, not because it tastes bad, but because I was scared.
She's just scared.
It is a little warm, so I think that actually affects the taste.
Yeah. I should have had it under ice longer.
But it's not bad. I was just afraid it was going to taste bad. It's actually very light. And it's a what? A 6.3?
Let me check.
I think I saw that it was a 6 something. It's on the lower right-hand side of the label. Oh, I
can't read that small. Even with glasses. I have a condition, guys. It's not that.
Oh, in the front. It's in the front, on the lower right-hand side.
I'm really loving this.
6.3 yeah. ABV.
I really like. I
don't love it, but I don't hate it.
I actually do love it. Mm. I like that the taste. I originally thought when I smelled it in the glass that it was like more of a lager, scent, but no. And I think I like the ruda in it.
I think what's ruining it for me is the temperature.
But they didn't have any refrigerators in medieval times.
That's why they're in the past.
But it's very light for it being the 6.3.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had a scrunchy face when I was tasting it because I thought it was going to taste like it smelled, but it didn't. But yes, it's a very light, like a lager.
Mm-hmm. I hate lagers, so I think it's a little better than a lager because I'm really liking this.
You hate lagers?
Yeah, I'm not really. I mean, I'll drink them, but but I really like this.
Some lagers are good. I mean, lager just the way that they're brewed. I would like to have a bottle nice and chilled and fresh out of the cooler and give it another try. It's not bad. And the taste is actually unique. It's not boring like a Miller Lite or
not.
A Rolling Rock or anything like that. There's definitely some complexity to the flavor.
Definitely, you can definitely taste the ruda. Mm. It's definitely an aftertaste. It has a very herbaceous taste.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's all right.
Mm-hmm. And the carbonation is medium. It's not too carbonated and it's not uncarbonated. It's just right, I think.
Yeah, it's a good carbonation level.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with...
So on our scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being... flaccid, 2 being initial, 3 being partial, 4 full, and 5 rigid. What is your...
I'm gonna go full.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Wow, you really like it.
I really loved it far more than the other two. Hmm. As I really... Even the temperature for me is fine. Like, I really like it. I really am loving this ruda thing going on here. Worm wart.
I wouldn't say partial. It's not as like whatever the first one was that I gave initial. It's not that
Irish bad. Red or something like
yeah
that.
But the part I think a solid 3 out of 5 for me.
I'm gonna go with Kristen and give it a partial as well, mostly because I don't really like lagers and stuff like that because it reminds me too much of Corona and all of those.
But when a craft brewery does a lager right, it's actually really good.
Yeah, it can be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I was going to like the warm wort taste, but I actually did. I kind of like it a little bit and how it lingers a little bit. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of chewing ruda to help with like a toothache or something.
Yeah.
So, good. A plus on the nostalgia factor. But it's just the fact that in itself is very much.
Plus it.
Oh, I didn't take a picture of this one.
Oh, plus it's like a a bright yellow mm-hmm. as opposed to kind of a piss color.
I don't know what those words mean because they can all look like that.
True.
But either way.
Maybe yeah. I'm comparing it to my piss, which is what I'm familiar with.
I hate that word. I'm sorry.
Oh, urine. Yeah. That yeah. wasn't any better, Sarah.
Yeah. But I'm still not overly impressed with it. So, like, I mean, good job on them for doing craft beer.
Don't they make IPAs?
I yeah. haven't come across one, but I always said
don't
when
they
I
make any stouts.
When I send Frank over.
Yeah, we had a stout. Oh, no, we had a porter.
Yeah. When I sent Frank over, I always.
Let me reiterate, a good stout reporter.
I always have him take a picture of what he's going to buy so I can choose because there was a lot of lagers and I was like, I don't want a lager. I don't want a lager. So, and then the other ones seem like they're from other countries and they import to Nicaragua as craft brews. They're
which
not,
is why we had an El Salvador.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So anyway, that was our beer review, guys. So if you're ever in Nicaragua, pick some of these up unless they don't no longer exist because I wasn't able to go on to their website.
Website is down.
All right, guys, we are going to review a book. And what are we reviewing today, guys?
Today, I am so excited to
I'm
say
so excited.
That we are going to review an original graphic novel called Open Earth. And it was recommended to us by Jen.
Yes.
And
I wonder why.
And actually, the not the writer, but the illustrator and well there's I don't know if they're both illustrators or if it's an illustrator and the colorist or whatever, but they're Latina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a book in front of me, but so I don't remember their names, but it came to us shrink wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anything of it. She gave me the book. It was, and honestly, when I looked at it, I will 100% tell you that by looking at this cover, I thought that it was a children's all ages book. I'm like, oh, we're gonna do, mm-hmm. you know, another
that's what
all
I thought
ages
too.
Book.
Oh no, there was a reason that
and
book was shrink wrapped.
And then I started reading it, and then we started seeing all kinds of like sex and more sex and then some sex after that. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I happened to just turn around and I saw that it said mature readers only. I was like, oh, okay.
And then what's the genres for it?
And so then I actually, in doing some research for this episode, I looked up, it is actually published by a publishing company called Limerence Press. And it turns out that Limerence Press is an imprint of Oni. And it is Oni's imprint that specifically is specifically publishes quality erotica, sex education, and gender and sexuality studies comics. They mm-hmm. focus on positive, inclusive, and approachable books that reflect a wide variety of emotional and intimate experiences.
Yep.
So we are reading straight up erotica comics.
Wow. Yeah. Sci-fi erotica.
Sci-fi erotica.
Good job, me. But Limerence Press actually got a lot of press last year, or was it 2 years ago, when they published a book called A Quick Guide to They Them Pronouns.
Oh yeah,
that was specifically written so to help others come to terms or recognize how to use they them pronouns mm-hmm. For trans folk. So it's and that was like an all ages title kind uh-huh. of thing. So like they've done a lot of this stuff and they're really really good. But I chose this one because I thought it was something that we could we could read. But two, I had heard a lot about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I had heard a lot of good press about it, and it was like online and stuff like that. And I just was really captivated by a genderqueer sci-fi or just an LGBTQ sci-fi book. Because you don't see that often.
No.
Yeah. Usually space is about existential crises and horror, mostly.
Yeah.
That's what space is all about. Like, who's going to save humanity? But this one was a humanity's all, like, Earth is gone.
Right, yeah.
So it's all about the first generation of people living in space.
Right.
And how it's... Oh God! Like it's such a, we're laughing about it because it is erotica and there is a lot of sex involved in it. But it also was very, very touching in the fact that it was the kind of spaceship that they are on. It's more like of a satellite kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's basically a bunch of scientists and their children, creating a community for mm-hmm. themselves in space because Earth is gone, and them trying to figure out what it is that they're going to be doing in space.
Yeah.
But also how over time views on sex, mm-hmm. partners, gender,
culture
and culture has changed. And mm-hmm. what I really liked about it is the liberal use of Spanish.
Yes.
And specifically the spaceship that they're on is called California, yeah, because that's right. where a lot of the California I guess immigrants or migrants mm-hmm. from Earth went to that one.
Yeah.
And so there's been a mix of cultures and stuff like that. So you can't really tell it's definitely Latino or Latinx based,
yeah,
but you can't say that it's Mexican or it's just Guatemalan right, or yeah. Salvadorian, Nicaraguan. It's just it's Latino,
mm-hmm.
And I really like that.
Yeah, the Rigo is the main character. Mm-hmm. And when she started kind of like interspersing Spanish words into her sentences, I was like, oh. And then I really looked at her mm-hmm. to see, you know, her coloring and what she looked like and how they drew her body and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then you see her parents and that she is Latina. Mm-hmm. And the artist in the book is illustrated by Eva Cabrera and it's colored by Claudia Aguirre. So I really was surprised that and she's not the only one. A lot of them were speaking. It was almost mm-hmm. as if like
they all understood.
They all understood.
There was a reference in when they were talking about Earth that there was a reference that they made Spanglish the illegal language.
Yes, yeah.
So
for
I
California yeah. because California right. had seceded away from the states. Mm-hmm. So it was just there was a lot going on in the background. Yeah. But in itself, the book itself was about what does humanity do once they've been 20 years in space?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was funny because Rigo got constantly frustrated with her parents' archaic, quote unquote, old Earth ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought that was really charming yeah. in the story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's just, and the old Earth ways was monogamy.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that actually plays a very large part in the story.
Yes.
And it's about monogamy and being, polyamorous?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, polyamorous. Mm-hmm. And it seems that everybody is. And there's a lot of sex positivity mm-hmm. and also body positivity.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
As well. And it was, I really enjoyed that. Yeah. That was really cool. And the comic itself was about them kind of searching like boundaries and mm-hmm. stuff like that and fixing relationships and stuff like that. But it's, what I really like about it is that it was all taken as normal.
Right.
This is how it is. They're the right. first generation and they get to dictate what's cultural and what's
exactly.
like and what they want to keep and what they want to make new.
Yeah, with none of those old earth hangups of what society used to dictate was okay and acceptable. I really, really liked that part.
I like when he, when they're, you know, they're having sex and he says, "You have the best ass, voted number one among the sole survivors of humanity." I was like, that is so clever. I love the writing. It was so damn clever.
Yeah, there was a lot of little like quippy, funny things that were in here. And I really just, I liked their, the, what do you call it? Their saying that they had on the ship that, was kind of like their motto that they lived by, which was honesty keeps us alive.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah,
that's true. Really played into the communication of all the interpersonal relationships that were happening on the ship and in on Earth, and in stories that, you know, we've seen in other books, if there were multiple people who were having sex and one person was having sex with three or four different people and they were all within an enclosed place, that would just be the recipe for drama.
It would absolutely be
an amazing reality TV show that I would 100% watch.
Yep.
But in this book, the way that it's written is really all about communication and being open and sharing your feelings and to not keep them inside and to make sure that those relationships are talking about the things that are going on so that they continue to grow. And I really liked that this book was like wanting to show that that is absolutely a good way for you to have a new society and to continue growing as a human.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in the first, what is it? The first five pages of the book, the dad is the one who administers the contraception to his daughter. And they were in a conversation, which, you know, I kind of like was taken aback at because it's the first five pages where he was like, "Who are you sleeping
or who are you dating
these days?" And it was like, he's administering contraception, so he obviously knows she's sexually active. Like, it took me a moment because I'm still hung up on the old Earth ways.
Yeah.
But
same with me, because when I saw her, which was kind of funny, which is, was like, I was really interested at how it called me out on my like, because there are people that live here on Earth now who are polyamorous, who are very happy in living in relationships where they have more than one partner. And in the book, when she was with somebody and then she just went off somewhere else and it was so like just like everyday nonchalant whatever, and she started having sex with that one too, and all of a sudden I started judging her.
I'm not gonna lie,
I started judging her. And then the more and more that I was reading the dialogue and I was and they were talking about old Earth ways and stuff, I was like, yeah, like this does seem like it would be awesome. Where's the next shuttle to space?
No, I definitely get you on that. And it's just like, I've realized this about me is that I still have a lot of Catholic hangups about monogamy and what it means and stuff like that. And like how when you're with one person, it should only be that person. Yeah. And I'm just all like, but that's not, like, that's very much a learned
thing. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's very much learned. And a lot of people say like, oh no, you're only supposed to be with one person, and just like, yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Like when you
isn't monogamy like a really new concept as far as humanity is concerned?
Well, I mean, as far as the animal kingdom is concerned.
As far as the animal kingdom is concerned, yes. And that's because,
except for the penguins. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Some animals.
Yeah, there's some animals.
Yeah, there's some animals.
The horsefish. I believe
seahorse.
Seahorse. I'm sorry. Horsefish. Did I just say horsefish?
Oh my god. Some birds.
Yeah.
That like they mate for life, and when I see that, I'm just like, oh my god, I wish. But like at the same time, but like in the animal kingdom, but in like I guess humanity, no, not even humanity, but monogamy, marriage very much is I guess modernish concept.
Mm-hmm.
in that mostly it was enforced to be secure that that child is your child.
Uh huh.
That's what marriage and monogamy is
all
for.
About. The man being certain that his seed was being
that his heir was his heir, not anybody else's.
Now I see marriage as like you have to in order to get the benefits of your spouse, like
health insurance.
Yeah. You know, when they die, mm-hmm. you know, the yes. property comes over to you yes. instead of their family, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it's a trap.
Marriage is a contract. And
marriage is very much just
business as usual. Like, like it's not even like, oh, I'm married for love. No, we had to get married in order to get, I can get benefits. Right. You know, that sucks. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality right now that I feel.
Yeah. I mean, marriage has always mostly been treated as a contract for most of humanity's history.
Yeah.
It's just that the Catholic Church tried to doll it up and stuff like that. And it's just like, nah, fam, I see through it. Also, I've never had very much a strong opinion on marriage because I've just... And even then, here they don't call it marriage. Mm-hmm. They just call it partnering up.
Yeah.
And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that more because, like, I don't know, like, it was... Because of my queerness and stuff like that, I knew I would never be married via the church. And so marriage has kind of like lost its whatever luster. Yeah. And if it ever even really had one.
I was just about to say.
I was like, not even as a kid, I didn't want to get married. Yeah. I'd just be like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But I liked how they addressed it in the book, that it was partnering up. Mm-hmm. And
what I like, because the big part of the storyline is that Rigo... she has sexual relationships with more than one person in the ship, on the ship. But she is starting to realize that she has a little bit stronger of feelings for one particular one. And it so happens that that particular, is his name Franklin?
Carver.
Carver's roommate is moving out and leaving a empty spot there, and she in her mind is like, that kind of would be awesome, I think I want to live with him. But at the same time, there Carver is having a sexual relationship with also multiple people, and mm-hmm. one of the men that he is with is saying that he wants to move in. And so there's kind of like this I don't want to say love triangle, because that's not how it's approached in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all very open. They share with each other how they feel. She even goes to the dude that might want to move in too and says, this is how I feel. And I'm not sure if I should even say anything. What do you think? So it was just all very like open and communicative. And they, you know, at the end, it all works out. But even when she and Carver are talking about potentially coupling up, in that conversation, they talk about how they both are still going to be able to see their other
people,
partners.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was really very, like, touching and loving story told about a polyamorous community.
Yeah. In space.
In space.
just to make it even better. It
and
takes
in
place in space.
And in Spanglish.
Yes. And in Spanglish. Uh-huh. And it was great. I love it.
Yeah.
And it was a fresh new take.
It was
something that I didn't know I wanted until I read it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm super, this is honestly the first time I've ever heard of Limerence Press. I did know that there was comics that were erotica, because there's actually, you know how Diamond sends out previews every month?
Yeah.
And it previews are how comic shops order their books 3 months ahead of time before they come out. Well, there's actually an adult-only previews book.
Oh, okay.
We don't get... because that's just not our community base. But I just learned that not too long ago. And so there's a whole genre of this stuff out there. And I really want to read more of it. And mm-hmm. on top of that, there's Latinas and Latinos who are writing and creating within that genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My favorite one of the ones, and we have ordered some books from them, is Smut Peddler. Smut Peddler Press.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, it's something that speaks to me.
Oh, I wonder why.
It speaks to me and my interests. So I definitely want to find out more information. And it's really funny because in the book, Rigo constantly is talking about how her parents are so old fashioned and they're all, you know, they just are, you know, with their old ways and stuff. And there's a scene in the book where she walks in on them and the room is completely dark. So she can't see anything. And they're like, don't turn on the light. Don't turn on the light. And she's like, okay. And so she leaves. And then when she leaves, they turn on the light and they're both in their BDSM get-ups and the dad is tied to the bed.
she has a whip or something, and you could see like the red marks on his
yes, you could see where she was whipping him, and they're like, she's like, do you, or he, the dad's like, you think she saw anything? But I thought that was awesome, and I also thought it was awesome that it was speaking to the fact that just because you're older doesn't mean that you stop having sex or you stop being interested in that or stop wanting to do cool things like being tied to the bed.
Cool kinky stuff with your significant other.
Exactly. So are we ready to rate the book?
Yeah.
Well, this is Sarah, and I'm going to go with Tres Conchas en Té de Limón. I really like it. I like that the main character has a similar hairstyle to me. So I really liked it. I love the artwork. I don't know if you talked about that, but the artwork is sensational.
The art was amazing.
Yes, I mean, really the folds on her skin and the way they were, you know, drawn was amazing. And the color complements the artwork. It was just amazing.
Yeah. This is Kristen, and for the BDSM panel and also the oral sex in G-Force scene, I am giving this 3 conchas and a zero cup grab of champurrado.
I know. I mean, I was like, man, zero gravity. That would be super awesome.
And so that, I loved the book. It was, I think it really opened up my eyes to maybe some of my hangups as well. And the story was just endearing and cute. The characters were amazing. I would love to continue to read stories about the people on California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, and this is Jen, and I'm going to give it, I'm going to be very Californian right now, 3 conchas and a venti chai tea latte. Don't knock it till you try it. It's good.
Awesome. But I love that review. That was really cool.
And I really like it. I love the body positivity, the sex positivity, yes. Mm-hmm. And how it kind of like, even without it being like I know like a lot of people say like stuff can be preachy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that this was just them being them.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That's very true. Very true. So that was our book review of Open Earth, guys. And now it's time for On My Radar. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So I have here with me one of the first graphic novels for Berger Books, an imprint of Dark Horse Comics that is being headed by Karen Berger. For those who don't know, Karen Berger is the award-winning editor who made Vertigo Comics happen. So she is the reason Sandman exists, Preacher, Why the Last Man, basically all these great late 80s, 90s comics that were coming out that Vertigo was putting out. She is the reason they happened. And so she...
Sorry.
Yeah.
I need an applause.
So she has an incredible eye for talent and for stories and who can make them. And she... I believe it was like last year or 2 years ago. Not last year. I think, yeah, it was last year that she finally like officially left Vertigo. And she was just like,
she stayed for a while.
Yeah. So she was like, Dark Horse has offered me a better deal. Mm. And I'm going to now be kicking off Berger Books. And one of the ones, the first ones that we heard of was She Could Fly. And She Could Fly is about an unknown woman flying at fantastic speeds and spectacular heights suddenly explodes mid-air in the Chicago sky. Luna Brewster, a disturbed 15-year-old girl, becomes obsessed with learning everything about her. So does a washed-up physicist, a secret government security team, and Chinese intelligence.
Ooh.
But will cracking the secrets of the flying woman's inner life lead to the liberation from Luna's own troubled mind, or will it take her to the point of no return? No one knows who she was, how she flew, or why.
Interesting.
So it's just like it's very eccentric,
mm-hmm.
and like I haven't read it because it was coming out for single issues.
Oh right, I remember.
And now it's the first graphic novel is out, and now they're starting the second series. She Could Fly, The Lost Pilot.
Oh
yeah, but besides this book, there was a bunch of other ones, and one of the ones that I can think of was The Seeds, which was a comic told in the point of view of insects,
mm-hmm.
insects talking to each other, and it was just so weird and cool.
Yeah,
that I really liked it, and that one the graphic novel hasn't been released yet, but it will be in a couple of months. A few of the other titles that have come out with her are La Guardia, which is kind of like an Afro-Latino mythological psychedelic trip.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it looks really cool, and all the artwork that I've seen for it and kind of glimpsed at is kind of like psychedelic or like mm-hmm. very mythology based and stuff like that. So it looks really cool. Another one is Invisible Kingdom, which is written by J. Willow Wilson,
uh-huh.
The creator of Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sci-fi book, a kind of like mythology sci-fi book and stuff like that.
I've seen all these books come through the store, mm-hmm. and there must be a lot of hype around this Burger Books because we've been selling out of all of those titles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Girl in the Bay.
Oh, yeah, that one, too.
Mm-hmm. Olivia Twist, which is a post-apocalyptic remake of Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks really, really cool.
I actually read the first episode. I was the first issue of that one, and I actually really liked it.
Yeah. And then another one is Matahari, which mm-hmm. is...
I read that one, too.
Yeah, and that one was really cool because it's kind of like a biographical / historical fiction.
Yeah.
About a very famous concubine
mm-hmm.
Who kind of made a lot happen in days past. But it's just, there's all this great content that has been resonating with a lot of people, apparently. And so I'm really super excited for it. It looks really good. And, like, the names that she's getting for this, Christopher Cantwell is the writer for She Could Fly. And he is the co-creator of Halt and Catch Fire, AMC's acclaimed TV series. It's drawn by Martin Morazio, who is Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Latino drawing it. With Miroslav Mirva, who I believe is doing lettering. And is from Croatia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's... Okay, the colorist is Miroslav Mirva, and the letterer is Clem Robbins.
Mm.
So it's just... The artwork for it looks really, really
good. The cover is really cool.
And the cover is really cool as well. It's kind of got a Sistine Chapel look to it,
mm-hmm.
like, or reference to it,
uh-huh.
Like between like God and like Adam, yeah. like reaching out for each other. So it's got that going for it, but it looks really cool, and I'm super excited for it.
That's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Burger Books. That's awesome to have your name on a series of publications.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So swing by your local comic shop to pick up a copy of the graphic novel. Or if you see a book that has Burger Books on it, I highly recommend picking up because they've all been pretty good so far.
Awesome. I have a real quick on my radar. There is a upcoming movie. It's called Bird Brightburn. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
It's an American superhero science fiction horror film produced by James Gunn and Kenneth Hwang. It's a screenplay that was written by Mark and Brian Gunn. It stars Elizabeth Banks. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her. She was in The Hunger Games.
I am familiar with her.
Yes. So this story basically is, it's sort of like a Superman story. If
oh yes, I know what you're talking about. If Superman went bad.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I've seen the trailers.
Yeah, I think it looks amazing.
It does look cool.
So one of the things that I really love, because it looks like a horror film too. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's like a.
I think it is super, straight up horror.
Yes, superhero slash horror film slash Elseworlds. I love it. So I just thought I'd put that on my radar because I really like how he is wearing a cape, but he's also like kind of. The cape kind of like he wraps around his face and mm-hmm. then all you could see are like his beady red eyes because he's going to do the heat vision. I thought that was cool. So yeah, I think that's what I would be if I were Superman. I'd be bad. So Brightburn, guys, that's coming out pretty soon. I'm not sure when. I didn't it in May, actually. It's right around the corner. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. That's on my radar. So that was on my radar. Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. And today, Juntos y Fuertes is brought to you by our lovely Kristen.
So I wanted to tie in our Juntos y Fuertes with the book that we read today, which is all about sex positivity and body positivity. What I want to talk today about is Girl Boner, which I love that name.
That name is amazing.
It's so awesome and amazing. And Girl Boner is actually the title of a couple of different things. It's a title of a book. It's also a title of a podcast, which amazingly enough is another sister podcast to Comadres y Comics here on the Period Network where we record. And so... August McLaughlin is the amazing creator behind Girl Boner, and she has a book out, which I want to get this book. I want to read this book. But Girl Boner is the good girl's guide to sexual empowerment.
Ooh.
So,
please tell me more.
It's the sexual wellness guide designed for quote-unquote good girls and anyone else looking to embrace pleasure and fuller lives. So the overview says, in a culture where female empowerment is used to sell everything from sex toys to soap, most sex education continues to bypass pleasure. The results mm-hmm. are stark. We've grown accustomed to slut and prude shaming and allowed others to dictate how a quote-unquote good girl is meant to feel, act, and look. In the book Girl Boner, The Good Girl's Guide to Sexual Empowerment, August McLaughlin offers an unfiltered blend of personal narrative and practical tips on relationships, solo play, journaling, gender issues, and more. From the perks of, I love this, jilling off. Instead of jacking off, it's jilling off. From the perks of jilling off to seven types of gasms, Girl Boner will empower you to own your sexual self and enjoy your whole life and a great deal more. So that sounds amazing. It is all about female sexual empowerment, which I'm all about. Anyone who follows me on Facebook knows that I'm all about that. And I'm going to share a secret with you that only Jen knows because I shared it with her the other day because I only just realized this. But those of you who have iPhones know that when you go to your Google page, it shows you like the things that like Google, Bing, Apple, Yahoo. Those are things that came on your phone. But then underneath it says frequently visited. There are two places that are under my frequently visited: my credit union and Pornhub. So you
I
know,
at least hide my history.
I am all about female sexual empowerment, and I can't wait to read this book. So you can actually find her information, I am assuming, on Girl Boner website, which I am just going to search very quickly now. and to buy your own book, I think she's actually going on what do you call it, book tours and stuff. So, oh, it's actually, let's see, augustmclaughlin.com. So you can find all the information. And that's augustmclaughlin.com. And you probably could find her book at any of your major book retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
And it's just, it's funny how there's still like kind of this this perception of like there's still prude shaming and slut shaming, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and how it's all about usually like men's pleasure, but yeah. female pleasure gets sidelined a yep. lot about like there's still people who believe that women don't have orgasms.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, it really annoys me when I'm watching porn and the woman is like screaming and yelling or whatever. I'm like, girl, you are faking it. You're not even touching yourself.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, it feels good, but it is a very few people, very lucky few, who can actually have an orgasm without additional stimulation. Mm-hmm. And this has been the Komalasi Comics sex ed portion of the show. But I mean, yeah, when the porn industry is 100% for the male gaze.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
totally. But 100%. I mean, there's more and more stuff that is coming out, and you know, there's erotica and mm-hmm. things made by women. When mm-hmm. you see them side by side, the difference is just it's unbelievable. So mm-hmm. yeah,
it's gonna be a TMI section for myself, but there is a like for women section for Pornhub that usually hits yeah. on the mark.
Yeah,
but sometimes I'm just like, really? Like, I'm just like, I cast judgment on some of the stuff that's popular. I'm just like, really, women are watching this?
I know. I'm yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just all like, you're lying to me. You're lying to me.
Yeah. I'm turned off by like nine long manicured nails on a clitoris. I'm just like, ew.
Oh no, yeah, I see.
What are
those
you trying to
yeah.
claw
yeah.
her
yeah.
to death or yeah. what? I'm just like, I don't know.
Look, any woman who's ever slept with another woman knows that you keep those things short.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't tap on it either.
No,
what the fuck is that about?
Don't.
Like, no.
All right, here's a lesson on how not to hurt your partner. Also, wash That's your fun. Hands.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. I can't stress that enough.
And clean under the fingernails.
Yes, clean most definitely.
Wash your hands, clean under your fingernails. And for God's sakes, don't tap on it.
All right, it's now time for saludos. And today's saludos go out to Jaime Hernandez. He's coming out with a new book, and it's called Is This How You See Me? And Kristen, what is this about?
Well, this is a new Maggie and Hopi book from Love and Rockets and Las Locas. And this is 30 years later. 1981 is when Locas came out. So it's 30 years after that. And Maggie and Hopi are now ex-lovers, but still friends. And they are embarking on a two-day reunion to their old neighborhood. So I think that's awesome. If you don't read Love and Rockets, then you don't know that Maggie and Hopi and all of Jaime's characters age in real time. Mm-hmm. So this is mm-hmm. them actually older and kind of like doing like a nostalgic, I think, like road trip. Mm-hmm. So that was super awesome. And Jaime was at the Latino Comics Expo in Modesto in March. And we got to see him. And he's always so amazing and wonderful and friendly and comes over and supports us very much. So we wanted to give him a saludos.
Exactly. Saludos. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of our episode. Where can they find us?
You can find us on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
And on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
On Facebook as Comic Comadres. And also you can always email us at comadresycomics.com. And we have a Snapchat where we try to share with you the events we are at with the appropriate hashtags and geo filters. So You could always add us on Snapchat. So this has been our episode. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.